Chapter 21, we see it's Sunday before the crucifixion, and Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, and great things are beginning to happen. And so in verse 11 of chapter 1, it says, "So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" And the next, in that same verse, Jesus cleanses the temple, and we begin to see Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as he begins to take his position as our God and Father. And so as we go on from that, he cleanses the temple, and he heals all of the blind and all of the people that come to him that had problems. And then we see he went off to Bethany. I don't know, has any of you here been in Jerusalem and on the Mount of Olives? A couple of us, right? Well, if you were at Bethany or Bethpage, you would be a ways out on the east side of Jerusalem. And then you would come to the Mount of Olives, and that's what he was doing. He was coming to the Mount of Olives. And I remember, this is kind of neat. If you were standing on the Mount of Olives and looking looking towards Jerusalem, it says it's a day's Sabbath journey. And so you think, wow, that must have been a long ways, you know, a day's journey. It was just a short ways because they could only go so far on the Sabbath day. But looking from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem is the East Gate. And so Jesus is going to return through the East Gate. Well, it's unique because there's another faith that's there. It's the Muslim faith. And so they decided that, well, we're going to stop Jesus from coming in the East Gate, so we'll put out here all the graves. We'll put all the graves in front of the East Gate, because we know that Jesus, if he, you know, goes to the rules of the Jewish faith, he can't cross those bodies and stuff like that. And it was really neat because when the King of Kings come and the Lord of Lords come, there's nothing going to stop him, right? He's not going to come because of there's a cemetery in front of the East Gate. So this is about where it was at, and he was coming from Bethany. He had did a lot of work. He was tired, I'm sure, and he's come. And so in verse 18, let's read 18 through 22. "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, "Be moved and be cast into the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." May God add his blessing to his word. It was a great teaching that he was getting. A tremendous teaching that Jesus was bringing to the disciples. And it opens up a whole new era for the child of God who has prayer and faith. And so this morning hour, as we begin to talk about it, you know, last week we had a great teacher from the college. And I enjoyed it so much. And in his teachings, I got a lot of knowledge. I don't know about you guys, but I learned a lot of things and things that I didn't know and things that were put together. Even though I've taught Romans on a college level, we can still learn, right? But today it's a different theme, right? Last week you got a lot of knowledge. This week you're going to get a chance to apply it, apply the knowledge that you had. And so this portion of Scripture that we're looking at this morning, it's a tremendous thing. And I know that probably everyone in the room here this morning has looked at that and said, wow, I wonder, was Jesus really talking about moving a big, huge mountain like the East Mountain and throwing it into the sea? Is there really power in Jesus Christ our Lord? Is there really a tremendous amount of power? Can we really do great things with God? And so that's what's coming out of this verse. How big is your God this morning? That's the thing we're talking about. What can he do? I remember that God called me into the ministry and my family, and we had a nice three-bedroom Cape Cod house out in the country on 3 acres. And so God called us into the ministry, and we put all the money that we had together, and we had $23,500 in our pocket to buy something up in Grand Rapids where we were going to the IFCA school. And so people said, you know what? No, you'll never be able to buy a house at that price. You'll never get anything. And so we were praying about it, I know, for a long time. And finally, we went through the community, and there was a house for sale by owner. And so we went into the house and looked at it, and it was exactly what we needed. It was a neat house. And it had a full basement, and we could put the kids down there, or at least some of them. And we asked them the price. Would you like to guess what the price was? $23,500. We serve a great God, don't we? But the thing of it is, though, how big is your God? Not how big is mine. How big is yours? What can your God do for you? What can you do for him is another thing. But what can God do for us? In our communities, in our lives, there's so many things go on. There's a young lady, somebody called us a couple of days ago, and they said, my daughter, she's just getting out of college. She's about 18, 19 years old, and she got this thyroid problem here in her throat. She went in to see about it, and it was cancer. And so they began to call around to people they knew. Hey, pray, right? That's what we do. All of us do the same thing. When we find out we have some tragedy in our lives and stuff, we call somebody in prayer. And so now she's going to Anderson Medical Center, and everybody's praying that she will be healed and the cancer will go away. How big is your God? Can he do that? Can he overcome the diseases, the problems with family that we have, all of these crazy stuff that come into our everyday life? Can he do that? Well, Moses, he had a great God. You know, he led Israel out of bondage with just 10 plagues that God gave to him. You know, Joshua, you remember Joshua? Moses had died. God had buried him. And so him and his crew were coming to the Jordan River, and they looked at it, and the thing was in flood stage. Man, how are we going to get across there? And so they had been praying, and they came down as all the ones with the that had to cross. They come down to it. And as soon as the elders touch the water, it says the water behind stood up, or it stopped coming. And they walked across the Jordan River at flood stage on dry land. How big is your God? Can he do things like that, marvelous and wonderful things? Well, the disciples had a big, large God as well. And so in there is, his God, the disciples' God, could heal the sick. He could do miracles. He could bring a person back from the dead. And in Matthew 9:18, if you remember the story, there was a guy who came to Jesus and he said, "Hey, my daughter just died. Could you come and could you take a hold of her hand and heal her and that she might live?" And so Jesus took a little bit of time and then finally went to their home, walked in, and grabbed her hand, and it says, and she was alive. How big is your God this morning? Can he do wonderful things like that? You know, some people think our God is small. There's people out. In fact, I know just a couple of days ago there was at the Supreme Court there was an atheist that was trying to get "In God We Trust" off of our coins. There's a thing going on today that is anti-Christian. We're beginning to see all of these things happen in our lives. They're taking down the crosses. They're pushing the Christians out. They won't acknowledge that that this United States of America was started on Christian values and Christian principles by Christian people. And so we're seeing today in our lives, as we watch television stuff, we're seeing how Satan is beginning to use people and things like that to push Christians aside. Well, you know, our world isn't a small world. And our God is not a small God. But, you know, man, in the very beginning, there were things that were going on that God had to come in and intercede. One of the things, you know, I don't know if any of you listen to a speaker. His name is Khan, and so he uses the Old Testament and has some of these things happen and things like that. So he was talking about Trump, and he was talking about, well, God is going to use Trump to help the Christians. And this was way back when he was elected in 16. And so as the world progressed and we saw what happened, Trump was brought in to help the Christians. And there's lots of things that he's done that we don't even know about as far as helping us and helping the churches that were not taxed and all kinds of things. God is he's a wonderful God. And sometimes we don't give him enough credit. You know, I think it was in April 19th, every year we celebrate the victims of the Holocaust. And if there's one thing that reminds us that we need a God, that certainly is one of them, where 6 million people were killed because in the Germans, as the Germans figured out, they didn't need any Jews, and they were trying to eliminate all the Jews. You know, talking about that, church, I remember reading about what was happening in those days. And there was a city there, and the Germans surrounded the city, and they shut off all the food, all of the water, and let the people die. It's you know, we need God, right? we need God to change things in our lives and in our country and in our world. And so, thirdly, Christians need to proclaim to the world how great their God is. I just want to tell you what can happen. About 18 years ago, there was a young girl that came from Indonesia, and she wanted to be a pastor. And so I was teaching in a college at that time, and so she was in my class. And so she wanted to really do something for God. And we were all praying, and so she started the church. And when the church started, there was about 18 people. 18 people came, and maybe 20. And so it was called, the church was called Work for Jesus Church. And I think later on they put international on it. But the church didn't grow. The church began to shrink. And it went down to 15, then it went down to 10. Then it went down to about 8 to 10, kind of held there. Now this was in 2004, 2005. Today, out of that church, there is, the church is still there and functioning, starting to grow a little bit. There is a Bible college that we've started in Indonesia. It has students. In fact, I'm going to teach the English in Indonesia online. A Bible college, Pasadena Bible College, came out of it. Pasadena Bible Institute came out of it. And Pasadena Bible Institute is a free institute. You should check it out if you know anybody that wants to study. It's a free school. And so out of that, 8 people, all of that came. That's the marvelous work of God. It's changed. It's changing lives and things like that. And so then I guess maybe when we're talking about how big is our God, how big is our mountain today? How big is our mountain? Number two. Well, I remember years ago, some of you I know aren't old enough to remember a cartoon character. His name was Buck Rogers. And Buck Rogers was, he was going into space, and he had a ship that looked like it was a cigar with wings on it, right? Something like that. And so as people talked about it, they said, "Hey, we'll never have anybody go into space, never." And yet, you know, the Wright brothers came along, and they worked on it. Finally, got a plane up in the air. Then things progressed, and now we have people that are thinking about colonizing Mars. Right? What kind of a mountain did they have? Well, each one of the mountains that they had before them was overcome, right? And so this morning, how about you and your life? Do you have mountains in your life? I got one, I know. And I'm asking God, I'm saying, God, listen, this is a big mountain. I need you to help me with mine. And so, but we have as Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he was saying, listen, if you have faith, you can move those mountains. You can change the things that are in your life, in your hearts. Most of us, my age anyway, we're to the point where a few years ago, we came to the realization that the end of our life was going to come real quick here, it seems like. And so we need to make some adjustments. We need to find a different way of what we're doing. And so we thought, Well, the best thing to do is to move next to the kids, right? So we were in Pasadena, and we decided, well, okay, we'll move next to the kids. And then, so we get next to the kids, but what about the kids? They're busy. They're 50 years old. It's the time of their life when they're trying to make a living and make everything happen. So we would probably been better off where we were at, right? But what were we trying to do? We were trying to move a mountain, right? A mountain. Then how big is your faith? I wrote three things down here, and we're getting close to my time here. And there are three things that when we're talking about faith and how God works in our lives and how to get rid of some of these really terrible things that come into our lives through prayer and faith. First thing is faith enables one to overcome the fear of great obstacles. Let me say that again. Faith enables one to overcome the fear of great obstacles. I remember a few years ago in Grand Rapids, I was called to make calls in the hospital. I came in the hospital, and one of the young ladies, she was dying of breast cancer. And so she wanted me to pray for her and pray that God would take away the breast cancer, but she wasn't a Christian. And I'm not sure if she wanted God to do it or she just wanted it taken care of. And so I said, listen, it doesn't help. God, you know, if you want God to work on your behalf, you need to know God as your personal Savior. You need to know Him. And so I said, would you like to accept Jesus as a Savior? And she said, yeah, yeah. And so it was a time when I had a chance to lead her to the Lord. And so what happened to her? Did she live or die? No, she died with the cancer. But her fear was gone. She had fear of dying, but yet now, in this time that she had in the hospital, her fear was gone. And she became a real great Christian in the hospital and gave out her faith. The fear that she had was gone. It was two other guys that I met the same time, and they were, one had diabetes, had his arms and legs cut off, both of them, and the other guy, he was in a wheelchair, and he could drink out of a straw and stuff like that. He couldn't use any of that, and they were the same way. They were there in the hospital. But they had overcome the fear of death, and they were witnessing in the rooms where they were at. They were testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so faith then enables one to overcome the fear of great obstacles. Number two, faith is exemplified through the many heroes of faith today. Young guy I met a few years ago. He's a missionary pastor in Nepal, and he started a church by the city dump, and he started to get some people to come to the church, and you know, down in Nepal where the dump is where they. They don't have a landfill. The truck dumps the garbage out all over the place. Then people go out looking the bags and stuff like that. That's where he started his church. And so he had it going pretty good, and things were going along. And he was in an area that was about 87% Hindu, and Hindus don't like Christians at all. And so he was fighting that. And then all of a sudden, if you remember, there was a huge earthquake. And the earthquake leveled his church. And so they had to start all over again. Today, and we're talking from 2004 till now. Now they have a Bible Institute. They have the church rebuilt. The church is growing like crazy. You know, they're heroes of faith. And I would just say, you know, that's a one that I know about afar off, but you guys here, I'm calling you heroes of faith yourself, because each one of us do the same thing. Each one of us know how big our God is, and we try in our very best way to exemplify being heroes of the faith. And the third one is that faith is the unusual capacity to trust in God to meet special needs. And so we're back to us again, right? We're back to where we are here in the church, members of the Church of Jesus Christ, members of the Church of Faith Bible, members of God's community. We're in His kingdom. We're waiting for that day when Jesus, when He stands on, He stood on the Mount of Olives in Acts 11, and He went up into heaven. We're waiting for Him to come back to stand on the Mount of Olives again and walk through the East Gate. You see, we're all in the same boat. And how do we overcome? We overcome because God is a great and wonderful God. He's a big God. And that He moves mountains for us in our lives, in our everyday lives. And then thirdly, it's our faith that moves it, because we take our faith. I remember growing up, and I'm going to give you a little of my testimony. I was always a Christian, at least I thought I was, and I was brought into the church in a basket. And so I've always been in church all my life. I know after 40 years of ministry, I know the church pretty well. I know the good parts, the bad parts, and all of that. But I remember I was invited by a couple that lived next to me. And I hadn't been going to church. I went to church with my mom and dad. And then after high school, I thought I was really too big to go to church, and so later on I got married, and so the neighbors were really good Christian people, and so I guess they figured I needed a dose of Christianity again, and so they invited my wife and family to go to church with them. It was an IFCA church in Princeton, Illinois, and so I say, well, okay, I'll go. And so I figured I was a good Baptist. I sat way in the back, the last seat in the church, like way back there, so I could haul out before anybody got there to shake hands with me. And so I'm sitting there, and I can remember the evangelist, his name was Don Wilson, and he was preaching on Revelation, on the book of Revelation, chapter 9. In fact, we had some of that today. And so I'm sitting there, and I thought, you know, when's this thing going to be over so I can get going, you know? And so they gave the altar call, and I'm sitting there, and something took my arm and moved it up when they gave the call. And it affected me so much. You can say, you know, that's... It affected me so much. A year from then, I was in an IFC Bible college going to be a minister. And so there's no obstacles, church, that God cannot undo. There's no thing that we can't pray for that God can't look at and advise us. For instance, what do you want to do in life? You want to get married? aren't you supposed to ask God who you're going to marry and God will pick you out somebody? When at your job, aren't you, if you're saved while you're in your job, aren't you to stay there and to witness to those around? And so, how big is your God this morning? Is he big enough to move mountains? How big is your mountain? Can it be moved by the faith? How big is your faith? And so this morning, last Sunday, we run into some knowledge that we didn't have before. And I remember on the screen there were, you could just write it out, and I've got some of it at home right now. But today, today is a day when you apply the knowledge that you had last Sunday.